2019. You really should cut the booze, lose 50 kilos, and fulfill your lifelong dream of becoming a YouTube star by taking up extreme parkour. That's why you're here. This isn't a radio show. It's a spiritual journey to help you live your best life. It can't help you achieve any of your goals, but it will make you much, much, much better at sex. Welcome to Radio Chaser.
Yeah, Thursday, which means another edition of Radio Chaser. Your members today is Andrew Hansen, Charles Firth and Chris Taylor. How you going, guys?
We're pretty well. How are you, Lee Dog?
I'm very well, as always.
I'll tell you what, I am hungover a hungover person.
Yeah, you look a little hungover.
Andrew should be too. He was there with me.
Oh, look, yeah. I held up a bit. I've got more staying power than you after an election leaders debate.
Yeah. We went to the after party. Oh, it's Scott Morrison's house.
I've heard that goes off.
It's insane.
I mean, because the thing is, they're really excited during the debate. I mean, especially this was the one in Canberra at the National Press Club.
It's the most exciting of all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Because there were no ordinary people there. It was just journalists and just one journalist asking all the questions. Nail biting. Yeah. So it was just like. It's like seeing Akadaka live, basically.
So what's the after party like? Is it like the Met Gala after party? Is it drugs and rock and roll and people, you know, throwing TVs out of hotel windows? Paint a scene.
Well, this is the thing. What happens is everyone comes. So it's not just the Libs. It's the Labor Party and the Country Party, One Nation. But worst of all, the Nats, you know, the National Party. Right. And they're just cracking on to all the staffers. Yeah. I mean, it's just... Yeah. Oh.
A lot of pregnancies resulting. Very, very expensive bottled water they bring too.
But what I've found, I mean, you don't need an invite to the actual after party to still enjoy it. I mean, it's, you know, people talk about, you know, Easter, Anzac Day, where Australians love to go to a pub and really get on it.
Yeah.
The pubs in my suburb last night after the debate, people were doing shots. I mean, it's like New Year's Eve, isn't it? I mean, we've got election fever in this country.
And instead of doing two up, you just play no up. No one wins. Anyway, we got a bit of a snippet of what went down at his party last night.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for inviting us over to your house tonight.
Hey, someone said there was a list of drugs that you had available at this party.
Our government has listed 130 drugs.
130? Jeez. Well, that should be quite a night, mate. Here, I brought a board game, Snakes and Ladders. Here you go, Scott. Well, you can start on the bottom line.
The bottom line is the worst of all possible outcomes.
Yeah, I know, but that's where you have to start. That's the game. And if you hit a snake... It's where you return to.
I can never return to that.
Yes, you can. It's the rules, Scott. Look, just ask Bill Shorten.
But it's more than just the rules.
Yes, exactly. Sliding down snakes is the whole point of the game, Scott. Don't tell me you're one of these people who just invents rules to get the game over and done with.
I set about changing the rules to make sure it was over.
Ah, stuff this. Let's have a dance. Hey, Bill, have you ever had problems with your man boobs while dancing?
We've had to confront some issues.
Yes, I can imagine. Okay, look, everyone, let's get into a conga line. Come on, this will be fun. Come on, everyone behind Morrison.
And so I've said to my party, this is the direction I'm heading in, and I'm asking you to join me, and they have.
I know, Scott, it's a conga line.
I will lead as I always have. From the middle.
No, no, Morrison, no, that's a terrible idea. Everyone's getting confused. We don't know where we are.
Oh, we've smashed his vase. Oh, he's going to make me pay for this, isn't he?
There's always a bill to pay him at the end.
Let's get out of here. See you, Scott.
Well, thank you very much, Sabra.
My name is Charles.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M.
We've just been talking about the big leaders debate. It was the third and final debate between Bill Shorten and Scott Morrison last night. It was a good chance to hear the both leaders say things that they've said every other day of the election. So if you hadn't tuned in before, you would have got fresh material. If you had tuned in before, you would have thought you're watching a rerun. There wasn't a lot of new material, except we did learn, the only thing I learned was that Bill Shorten doubted the existence of hell. Did you see that? They were talking about the Israel Folau's situation.
Yeah.
And Bill Shorten, who does identify as religious, he goes to church. Yeah. I don't know if that means you're religious or just means you're a politician who's trying to court the religious vote.
Yeah.
But yeah, he questioned whether hell exists.
I want to go for the politician that can abolish hell. Like, that is a good promise, because that's like getting out of eternal, you know,
that's
damnation.
Not bad. It's one thing to abolish boat turnbacks, to actually abolish the devil.
Because I think Scott...
Have my vote.
Because Scott Morrison's church is all about hell, isn't it? It's all about avoiding going to hell. That's what you know, his evangelical.
It's kind of ironic because every time he opens his mouth, we're all in hell.
Exactly. Now, a lot of people have had their two bobs worth on, you know, who won the debate and all of that. But I want to send a, you know, a bouquet of flowers to the Sydney Morning Herald. Yeah. Only they had the political and journalistic nous to get a bunch of school kids, high school debaters, no less, to assess how the debate went.
Oh,
isn't this fantastic journalist? This is a paper, you know, with actual members of the press gallery on the payroll. But rather than ask them who do you think won the debate, they've gone to some high school debaters. Now, Charles, you strike me as someone who probably did a bit of high school debating.
I did. I was captain of my team.
And therefore I know high school debaters are twats.
Yeah.
Like, they are, like, you can just imagine their review.
I think the word is twat, Chris.
You can just, I thought the debate was good, but I criticised Mr. Shorten for not defining the word election when he first got up.
No, that's exactly what debating's all about. It's this pointless thing, manner, matter, method.
All of that. Probably some girl going, I was very confused. Who was affirmative? Who was negative? I just wonder, though, like, obviously the Herald's onto a winner here. Can we take this further? Like, sure, it was genius to get debaters to review a debate.
Yes.
The next time, like, there's a Bledisloe rugby game between the All Blacks and the Wallabies, why not get some schoolboy rugby kids to do the review rather than pay actual journalists who know something about it?
Or the table tennis team. Like, you know,
whatever the sport.
Whatever the sport is. Yeah. I love that idea. Because then you could sack all the journalists as well.
Yeah. Is that the plan? And,
yes.
Is that what's going on?
That's what it is.
Gee, wait till Murdoch gets hold of this. Just be school kids writing all our papers.
We've all made mistakes, haven't we? Spelling mistakes over the years. Well, not me. I'm a good speller, but you know what it's like. You know, you send an email and maybe it's not spelled correctly.
Well, do you know, Andrew, I used to be a really good speller. I now prided myself on it. And bloody autocorrect has changed all of that.
Oh, like, it's wrecked everything, isn't
it? I correctly spell words and Apple or Google or whoever it is comes in and completely misrepresents my intention.
It's interesting, Chris, because that happens to me too. And they don't know common words either, like hello, you know, gets changed to, you know, hado or something. You know?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what happened to the poor person who works at the Mint. Because I don't know if you've seen this, but they had a bit of a shocker. They've released a new pineapple today, right? A new $50 note. It's out.
I think it was released last October. The typo's only been picked up recently.
Oh, no, you're right. Yes. Okay. So the note's out, and it's got a typo on it, because it's got these tiny little words all over it, which is a speech by Edith Cowan. It's a very historical piece. They misspelt the word responsibility. And they misspelled it again a second time.
Oh.
And they misspelled it a third time. It's misspelled three times.
Is it the same typo each time?
It's the exact same typo each time. Yes, it says responsibility. It's quite embarrassing for them. Look, I thought, you know, just out of kindness, really, we should probably just cross to the press conference now, where I believe the official typist from the Mint is due to deliver an apology.
Hello, I am the official typist at the Australian Mint, and I'd like to read you this written apology. Dear people of Australia, I made a big poo-poo and I am very soggy. When typing the new $50 not, I made a mistake. Instead of the word responsibility, I accidentally typed responsibility. Oh, hang on. Oh, that's a typo of my typo. I meant to say I accidentally typed responsibility. And I take full responsibility. It was my responsibility to get it right, and I was irresponsible. However, we who work at the Mint are much better with numbers than letters. So rest assured, even if we can't spell, we can still c***t. Thank you.
This is Radio Chaser, Triple M.
We were just talking about the massive typo in the new Australian $50 note. Can I just send a big cheerio, though, to the workers at the Mint? There was no typo in the number 50 itself.
They did a good job on that, didn't
they? They got the 5 and the 0 in the right order.
Yeah, they did, and both letters, and the right way up as well.
Yeah.
Like they could easily have looked like Oss had they gotten that wrong.
It's very easy to nitpick and say, why didn't they proofread and notice responsibility was misspelt? But as long as the 5 and the O are the right way up, I'm pretty happy. Like,
it's not bad. It's not bad. And the note is rectangular as well.
It is, mostly.
It could have been a triangle.
It is flammable, though. Have you noticed that?
Well, that is an issue. Yeah.
It's like the old Samsung phone. If you sort of spend it too often, it just bursts into flames. Now, speaking of things that could, not quite burst into flames, but certainly be on the way out.
Yes.
This is like probably the most scary, sobering story of the entire week, and I don't think it's got enough coverage.
Right.
This is genuinely serious news. The UN released a report this week saying that up to 1 million animals and plant species will soon be extinct.
Well, it's not all bad news, though, Chris, is it? I mean, who knows? Some of those species are pretty irritating, aren't they? I mean, good Lord, we don't need all of them, do we? What about pantry moths?
I don't think you read the fine print of the UN's report. Mm. All the shit animals are staying. It's just the nice, cuddly ones that are about to be extinct.
You're kidding me. Really?
No, it's not quite that bad. But no, look, 1 million species. This is, you know, climate change is sort of one of these issues that you either engage with or you don't. But even if you don't, you'd have to sort of, most of us love animals. Most of us like our gardens or herbs that we cook with. Mm. If you've suddenly lost 1 million of those, dinner's suddenly a bit less tasty.
Yeah.
If you lose 80% of your herbs, you're just stuck with coriander.
Well, is cow?
That's not a plant. But
is cow or pig on the list of extinct things?
No, then
that's fine. As long as we've got bacon and steak, I'm sorted, to be honest.
No, but there's some genuinely good ones. Why don't we do a little test? We might open the phones up on this. If you have thoughts on this, 133353 is the number here at Radio Chaser. If we had to lose an animal or a plant, which one are you happy to lose?
Well, can I just suggest one right off the block? And I don't understand why climate change doesn't sort of zero in on this animal. I got woken last night by a cockroach rustling around right near my head in the bedroom.
They're very
loud at night.
And they're very alive at the moment, aren't they? I've got more cockroaches in my house at the moment than food. And anyone who knows me knows that's a very unusual state of affairs.
Controversial. You reckon that's uncontroversial?
Well, it's something to want off the planet.
Exactly. Yeah. Good. Yeah, okay. That's my nomination. What about you, Andrew?
Oh, I'd nominate... Look, I mentioned the pantry moth, which I find irritating. I reckon there's also, like... Not all dogs, but a certain breeds of dog that I find pretty annoying, like those tiny little sort of rat-like ones, the sort of chihuahuas. I think we could probably go without those.
Yeah,
and the world would be a better place.
Any dog in the handbag of a fashion model.
Yes, like, should be gone.
That sort of thing.
Yeah,
that should probably be just turned into another handbag.
Yeah. Elephants. Elephants.
I mean, you don't like elephants.
I love elephants. Yeah. They're one of my favourite animals, but just not in cities.
Yeah.
Inconvenient.
No. Yeah. Like they take up. Sydney's crowded enough as it is. People's pet elephants. Have you noticed this in Penrith? Yeah. Everyone's got an elephant now.
Yes.
All right. 133353. Which animal could we afford to lose that could afford to go extinct? I'll throw someone tickets to Sausage Fest 2019, by the way. 133353. We got Matt from Leppington. Matt, how you going, man?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good. What would you prefer to lose? Matt!
I think we'd like to lose his line.
Yeah. We lost Matt. He became extinct. Marika's on the line from Meadowbank.
Hi. Yeah, I'm with the pandas.
Pandas? Well, pandas are seriously endangered. So they are on the list, in fact. But why would you want to lose something so gorgeous and cuddly?
Because they are absolutely useless. In order for them to breed, we need to show them panda porn. Then they don't even get it on. And when they do and actually breed, they don't look after their kids. And they cost us millions.
Yes.
They're kind of like welfare cheats, aren't they? They're
horrible people.
Tough room.
I mean, I think the problem is, you're absolutely right to identify the panda porn issue. I just don't think we've cracked their type. Like, I think we've shown them sort of professional panda porn. I reckon they might be into amateur.
Yes.
So if we just start filming, a bit more left field sort of action, maybe they don't even like watching each other have sex. If we showed them turtle porn or something like that, and that can get fast, believe me.
Bryce is on the line from Campbelltown. Bryce, which animal would you like to become extinct?
Mate, termites have got to go.
Termites. Yeah.
You had issues?
Termites suck, man. No, I'm lucky enough, I haven't had an issue yet, but I live right behind the bush, and, mate, every day's a nightmare. But I've got to say, also, I do agree with the cockroaches.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you a real quick short story?
Yeah, sure.
All right, my partner and I, before we moved out to Campbelltown, we lived in an apartment in Liverpool, right near the train tracks. And that apartment there, because of the train tracks being there, it was just filled with the cockroaches. One night, my partner and I were in bed. I felt this thing scurry across my face. Woke up, flicked it off me, landed straight onto my partner's face. And we both jumped out of bed, fast as anything, covers gone, ransacked the whole house trying to find this bloody cockroach again, but it managed to slip away from us.
No, and that is true. The panic that you get from waking up to a cockroach, yeah. I reckon, is the worst in the world. Like, even if a snake or a funnel web spider, you know, was on my face, it would be less than the panic of a cockroach for some reason.
It's like waking up and learning you've accidentally set your radio to 2GB and Alan Jones. It's that bad.
Let's take one more. Barry from Blacktown. Barry, which animal would you like to see become extinct?
The cats, mate, for sure.
Cats? Yes! Woo. Yes!
Well, funny you say cats. There's a big feral...
Well, because they cover 98% of Australia's landmass when humans only cover 5%.
Mm.
And they... they're the biggest reason, them and foxes, the reason why 30 species of Australian natives are extinct today. You know what I mean? And could have been the cause of many more, but lucky.
Do you think we could
do
a deal with the UN where we say, look, why don't we save these 30 native animals, but we'll give you cats?
Yeah.
You know, you just
a trade-off.
Do a bit of a trade-off.
Yeah, I like that.
Exchange. I like that. You know the worst thing about cats, too, is when one sits on your face in the middle of the night.
Oh, I know. they're plague everywhere.
You know what the absolute worst thing is about cats? When someone makes a musical out of them.
Oh!
I bought a dishwasher a few months ago now, about 7 months ago. I bought a brand new dishwasher, and last week it broke. It just completely broke.
Oh.
It's got E24 or E25, which means the drainage inlet outlet valve is something or other.
Oh, there's an error code.
Yeah, there's an error code
so
on
a,
the...
it's a smart dishwasher that tells you... Yeah, it doesn't work, but it tells you what's wrong with it.
It's really smart, yeah. Anyway, I've done all the things, both online, in the YouTube videos, and in the manual, and it doesn't work. Like, it's broken, right? And
have you taken your kids out of the dishwasher?
What? Yeah, they didn't say any of that in the YouTube video.
No. You think you can, that it beats the shower, but no.
Nah.
Yeah, you can't use them for your kids.
Yeah, anyway.
That's definitely E20. I'm looking it up here, Charles. E26, 9-year-old crouching in dishwasher. Please remove.
Anyway,
so I called them up to get them to come around and fix it, right? And they go, yeah, okay, we'll come around and fix it. It's under warranty, of course. It's 7 months old. And then they read me out this statement that said, but, if we determine that it's not under warranty, you'll have to pay us all this money. Like, it'll be a couple of $100 at least.
Mm.
You're just going, but hang on, you're on the hook. In what world are you not going to say, oh, it's your fault, Charles? Like, they're going to totally charge me, aren't they?
A warranty is a warranty. What part of a warranty is open to interpretation?
Well, exactly.
You're either under warranty or you're not.
Yes, exactly. Like, why should I be charged at all? Like, it's not normal to just not be able to use a dishwasher after 7 months.
I guess they could argue if it's your fault, it's broken.
Yeah, but what could it possibly be that's my fault?
Well, if you've invited your dishwasher to a group sex party and had a threesome with an appliance, if you've done anything other than put cutlery or crockery into it, it might be your fault. Have you done anything unusual with your dishwasher?
We have done nothing. Well, speaking on behalf of myself, I've done nothing wrong with that dishwasher.
You haven't been filming panda porn with two pandas inside a dishwasher.
It is true. I have been away for a couple of weeks and there were some hairs around the dishwasher when I came back. So I don't know what my wife's been up to. No, but you just know, like, I just know that they're going to get there and they're going to go, oh, it's a faulty flangulator. That's actually your fault because that's wear and tear, isn't it?
Here's one for you. Do you rinse before putting things into the dishwasher?
Yes, I do. My wife does as well, you know, if Bosch is listening.
You know, there's some. I have this argument with my wife all the time. I'm a big rinser. I basically get things sparkling clean and then put them in the dishwasher. Rinse. Whereas my wife, there could still be half a roast chicken carcass on the plate and she'll shove the whole thing in.
Yes.
And I don't think that's good for a dishwasher.
Nah.
Well, but it's meant to be a dishwasher, Chris. I mean, that's its function, isn't it?
It's not a chicken carcass washer. But like you've kind of got to get all the gunk off before you can wash the dish.
What's the point of having a dishwasher if you can't put a roast chicken in there or half a loaf of bread if it happens to be on the plate? Right.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that I shouldn't have done put that chainsaw in it? Is that what you're saying?
No. And then the other thing you did was also wrong when you tried to put your dishes inside the chainsaw.
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
It is what everyone's talking about, Sausage Fest 2019. You can come along. We're putting together the number one democracy sausage. What will it be from our good mates at Morey Meats, George Street, North Strathfield? Check out moreymeats.com.au. Of course, we're having it at Young Henry's Brewery, and those guys have kicked in a beer made especially for us called the Voters Bitter.
That's right, and that's what I wanted to talk about, because we know that what we're doing is we've got 10 sausages and you can vote online to choose which one that you want to do.
But are they different flavours or different lengths?
No, they're all some of them are different lengths.
Different shapes.
We've got a Senate sausage, which is about
1.5 metres.
1.5 metres long. Yeah, which is actually not quite long enough compared to the Senate flavour.
I'd love to see that in a slider. So, like, it's mostly sausage sticking out both ends and just a tiny little bit that's covered by the bread.
I like that.
Well, if it wins the poll, that maybe that's what you should do, isn't it? Yeah. Where do you vote, Charles? It's a Triple M website, isn't it?
Yeah, you can vote at triplem.com.au, and just for voting, you come along to the event, Sausage Fest 2019. You'll walk away with a snag pack plus a whole bunch of beers.
Snag pack?
Well, bunch of snacks.
Oh, right. A meat.
What do you call them?
A meat tray. That's what I call it. Because I'm a man. I'm an Australian male.
When I go to the butcher this weekend, I'm not going to ask for a bunch of sausages. Mate, give me a snag pack.
And by the way, if you with that website thing, because I wanted to vote, even though I don't think I'm allowed to vote, and it's impossible to find. So you've got to click on win.
Yep, the win
page.
Click
on win, you can find the voting. Anyway, point is, we've also got this beer going. So Young Henry's have brewed it. They've made it incredibly bitter, right? Because the idea is it's voters bitter. And in one can, we've compressed all the bitterness of voter dissatisfaction around Australia.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so bitter.
Resentment in one tin.
Have you had a sip?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm still recovering.
So it's genuine, bitter.
It's unbelievably bitter.
You can try the real thing at Sausage Fest, can't you, next Friday?
Yeah. Jump online right now, triplem.com.au. Vote for the democracy sausage. Put it in your mouth. Back again tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.